You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not currently joined by Harrison Fagan. He is actually out. I honestly can't even give away his current location because of the witness protection program he currently is in. Harrison, do you regret telling your friend that you didn't have any faith in the Lakers coming back against the worst team in the NBA?
So you were hiding me and were disguising my voice, and then you just called me Harrison.
No, I know. I mean, I didn't give away your location.
Oh. Well, wait, then why am I disguising my voice?
Because your voice is pretty damn funny this way. Can you just give me one Darth Vader no?
Okay. No!
So, all right. So, when Andrew Bogut comes into the game, you say...
No!
Perfect.
Mate.
Mate. As Crikey. Always, we're gonna go over one of the more interesting. I'd say it was fun, but it was so ugly in the first half. But it was definitely one of the more interesting games the Lakers have played this year. So we're gonna talk about that. We're going to talk about Brandon Ingram to start. We're gonna talk a little bit about Julius Randle in the middle, and then Harrison is bringing back one of his hot takes about Lonzo Ball, which somehow might have more nuance in it than some people's actual takes. So you guys have that to look forward to C-block.
Wait. You spoiled the whole show.
No, I didn't.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Okay.
As always, you can... As always, you can find...
I can't wait to hear myself because my laugh probably sounds weird while I'm doing it. Like, do I go back into normal voice at any point? Like, at what point do
Your laugh actually sounds more normal.
Well, that's hurtful.
Sorry. As always, you can find the show at Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify/Alexa, Lakers Nation and Lakers Outsiders. You've thrown me off with this witness protection thing, but we'll see how long this can go for. And you're really gonna freak people out when you switch from witness protection into regular voice for Harrison's hot takes, because that's really going to throw some speakers off. But let's start with Brandon Ingram, who I don't think people...
Still exists.
I don't think people recognize how good he's been this year.
Like, no, I don't think so, because Kyle Kuzma's new and shiny, and Lonzo Ball is clickbait. Mm-hmm. Like, Lonzo Ball is human clickbait, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Ingram has kind of, and Julius Randle is having a career year, and Clarkson is having a better year off the bench. And so I think Ingram has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. But I've been banging this drum since the first week of the season, and you got mad at me. But I'm here to say that you're trash, and that Ingram has rebounded, and he's good now. And it's just, I'm still cracking up picturing this coming through in the voice that I think it's probably
you calling me trash in that voice is something.
I'm going back to normal. I can't do that. Can you hear me? Am I normal now?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Wait, really?
No, keep... See what... And say something.
Hello.
There you go.
Okay. The bit is over.
All right. So Harrison feels so much better about himself and about his trash take about these Lakers not coming back from the
coming
game.
Out of witness protection.
Yep.
And yeah, I honestly did not think that they were going to come back tonight. And a big part of why they did is Ingram. And he just, like, I mean, a bigger part of why they did is Randle, but we'll get to him in a minute. But I just think Ingram's been incredibly overlooked this season. And it's just, I guess it's because he's not new anymore, I think, is the main reason.
So Ingram, we all kind of balked at the expectation that Ingram would average 20 points a game, right? And reasonably so. But when the expectation dropped from Magic down to, say, 15 to 20 points a game.
And then just down to, we want him to have fun.
Yeah. See, but there's a lesson to be learned here, Lakers, that you don't have to swing wildly from side to side on how you feel about these guys.
No,
but
first they pointed outside of the stadium for a grand slam. Yeah. And then they tried to bunt.
Yeah. Then they. We're going to see if we can stand close enough to the plate to get hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
But so Ingram right now, I don't believe ESPN's numbers are factoring into tonight, which is kind of annoying. Like ESPN, you have all of this stuff at your disposal and you can't refresh your damn stats after a single game. But heading into tonight, Ingram was averaging 14.8 per game. He is now, let's see what he's averaging now as I filibustered my way through this. He is now averaging, where is it? 14.9.
You played almost as well as me. Good job, almost.
14.9 points per game on basically 45% shooting. He is only shooting 30% from three, but he recognizes that he isn't very good from there, so he's kind of mitigated that. What hurts there, and he's only attempting one.
He's barely taking any.
Yeah, he's attempting under two per game. His free throw shooting,
which long term probably isn't ideal, but for this year, I think is okay.
Yeah, I mean it's just a matter of it's like Matt Moore came on the show and said a while back, right, where he basically said the Spurs told Kawhi you need to focus on the corner three and the corner three alone, and then you have to focus on attacking closeouts, and then you have to do this, and just added to his game at a decent rate, right? And I thought it was weird that the Lakers were hoping that Ingram would become this really good ISO player and expect him to score all over the court. But what they've kind of said is, okay, we recognize that you redid your three-point shot in the offseason, so expecting you to hit the ground running with that and shoot at a decent clip was a little unrealistic. So they've basically retooled the way he approaches the game. And you see him attacking the rim almost at will at this point. He had that. Did you see the shot where he went up and he palmed the ball and he hung up in the air and he still put it up nice and soft off of the rim? Like that actually got a whoa from me while I was watching the game.
Some of these finishes, it's like only he or a guy like I hate to start the Durant comparison thing again, but like Durant or Giannis, like guys with incredibly long arms like that, like they're the only ones that could ever do that.
Right. It's been really impressive. And I really honestly wish the Lakers would do more to bring him to the forefront. Just to say, hey, look at what this kid is doing. You know, watch what this kid is doing. I you rarely see tweets about Ingram unless he makes a big play, but on a day-to-day after a practice kind of setting or whatever. And part of this is because the point of social media is to get engagement, and Lonzo gets peak engagement across the Lakers roster. But what the Lakers should be able to do from a PR standpoint is control the narrative and point it towards somebody who is actually fulfilling or exceeding expectations this year in a big way.
Yeah, lean baller brand.
Skinny baller brand. Skilly, yeah. Anywho. We are going to talk about Julius Randle, though, because he has been really good all year, and frankly, last night got the Lakers back into the game in a way that I really Harrison definitely didn't think was possible. So Julius Randle, he wore that sweater a little while back. I'm guessing, I don't know if it was a sweater, sweatshirt, hoodie, I don't know what it was, but he wore it and it basically said, pay me, and he told Bill Orem to take it as he will, which is kind of interesting. I want him to – somebody needs to deliver him
– that's amazing. How did I not see this?
Oh, yeah. That was tremendous. Somebody needs to deliver him a sweatshirt that says, play me, and have him wear it during the games as his warm-ups. But Randle
– he's been getting more minutes over the last couple.
Uh-huh, he has.
And they've been playing with Lopez. That's one of the things I think that's been most encouraging of Luke's coaching. You know, I wrote that article this week saying that Luke is not the Lakers' last head coach. Mm-hmm. They are not,
damn, I thought
you
we were
can't equate the two.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like that, and that even since then, Luke has, you know, furthered my belief in that by saying like, okay, like wasn't trying Randall with Lopez before. This is kind of working. I'm going to keep trying it. And they've played it a little bit. And then Randall as a small ball center tonight just was incredible. And he played the second most minutes of anybody on the team at 39. And he is, Ingram was pretty good down the stretch. Randall is the reason they won this game. Yeah. They would not have even been anywhere close to coming back and winning this game if he had not come in and played as well as he did. And actually, I was wrong on his minutes. It was 28. I misread the stat sheet.
He stands out the most in terms of guy who, you know, we talked about Ingram's wow plays, like his finishing around the basket, but he had that court to court, you know, coast to coast exchange where on one end he blocks Bobby Portis's dunk in a big way and then gets fouled on an and one on the other after going coast to coast.
Bobby Portis and Julius Randle colliding is like that scene in Thor when the Hulk and Thor punch each other at the same time.
And everybody, yeah.
And everybody's just like, oh my God. Oh, like,
I was a little nervous. There was one point where the two of them, you know, kind of fought against each other for the ball in the corner. And I got a little nervous. I can't lie. Like those two getting into a skirmish on a basketball court. Like NBA players a lot of times get crap for not fighting. Those guys would actually throw down.
Well, at least Portis will. we know for a fact we have evidence.
Got to tell Randall, keep those hands up because that cheap shot is coming. Yeah, but I wanted. Okay, to get...
so you know it was like this is the type of night it was for the Lakers. Jordan Clarkson is doing an interview with Mike Bresnahan with his arm around him. So. On TV as we record this, like it was their biggest comeback of the year, and you know I think. It shows this team, like we've talked about it a couple times, this team, I think to me, other than the defense, the biggest difference is that they just don't give up on games. Like last year and the last couple years when the Lakers got down big, they just kind of hang their heads. Okay, I'm going to go get my numbers. I'm going to show some promise for myself. And like tonight, you just saw everybody kind of realize Randall had it and they were just doing whatever they could to make sure that he continued to roll.
I kind of agree with the point that you're making. I thought last year's team battled back a little bit more than people want to necessarily give them credit for.
That's just because you love D'Lo. Just marry him, Anthony.
Obviously. I'm trying to, but he blocked me on Twitter, remember?
That is hilarious. I forgot about that. I look forward to continuing to debate that trade in 2027.
But everybody will have been retired and maybe dead, and we're still going to be talking about that thing.
Probably. You will, at least.
Regarding Randall, what I wanted to point out and what I really like about his game is every so often with NBA players, you really see it click in their heads that they don't have to be going full speed to be effective at all times. Like I think that's one of the things that Ingram has really shown this year too, is that he can take his time while he's driving to the basket and still get to his shot or still release a pretty good shot, especially around the rim. And Randall in transition this year, last year I thought he was good when he would have a kick ahead pass or hit ahead pass and run into a defender and open somebody else up for a three-pointer in transition. Right? That was one of my favorite plays. This year, I think he's doing a lot better job in those situations where he does get out, rebound, and go. In those situations, he's doing a lot better job of not sprint dribbling and keeping his head up and finding people to the right side of his body. Last year, it was a lot of if he made a pass in transition, it was because he was dribbling in that direction anyway, and it was easy to release the pass with his left hand. This year, he's making great decisions in transition. Going to either side of his body, and that makes transition basketball for the Lakers so much easier because you've just basically doubled your area of opportunity.
Yeah, and I thought that tonight was a good example too. You're talking about the transition play, and it's just why we were so vehement when we were saying like it shouldn't just be Lonzo that's allowed to push the break. Yes, good things happen when Lonzo pushes the break. and when it happens naturally. But if Randle gets a rebound, he should not have to look for the point guard. He should be allowed to go.
Is it vehement or vehement? I thought I've always pronounced it.
I don't know. I will lean with you because apparently I don't know how to pronounce any words because I never talk to people. And like nobody ever corrects me on this until I go on the air and embarrass myself again. So
I'm pretty sure. Let us know either in the iTunes reviews or on 5-star iTunes review with how vehemently. I'm pretty sure it's vehemently, but vehement and vehemently is that's how you usually pronounce it. But
I don't know. Hey, I need to take a speech class or something.
You do you, man. You do you. All right, we're going to let you recuperate from that though, and give us your hot take, which we haven't had in quite a while. So that's going to be fun.
Okay, so are you ready for a hot take?
I'm ready as I'll ever be. Hold on, let me turn down my volume and let everybody else listening right now.
Fair warning, it's been a while. Turn down your volume for the explosion from the hot take.
Turn down for what? Go ahead.
All right, Anthony. It's become very, very clear to me that there's only one solution available to the Lakers about Lonzo Ball. Do you want to guess what I'm going to say? Send him to the G League, Anthony. No wonder. Like, is it – you watch him play this year, and it's the same thing that everybody was saying going into the draft. He's a diva trash bust that is only famous because he's on reality TV. Like, it's no wonder his little brother thinks that he can steal. Like, he's like, oh, Dad, I thought you could just take things that weren't yours, because he sees Lonzo rob the Lakers every day. And – like, what has he done, really? He's shooting 23% from three. It's not like he's goosed the Lakers' offense. They're still one of the worst offenses in the league. He's not been the reason they fixed their defense, Anthony. I'm sorry to inform you, as much as your Lonzo Ball love kind of has you misinformed about who is making the team better. And, like, basically, I think I've come to the conclusion from watching these 17 games that all Lonzo is Alex Caruso with a louder dad, Anthony.
I want to take a step back really quickly, if you don't mind. Are you okay with that? You Maybe. Said my Lonzo Ball love, but I'm pretty sure I keep on getting told I love another Lakers point guard, or former Lakers point guard.
Call it comedic effect, Anthony. You should try it.
My bad.
His dad is the only reason he even has a career. Okay, I'm sick and tired of watching Lonzo leech off of LeVar, because Lonzo is talentless and he's riding his father to fame. Do you know what he would be without LeVar? No, you wouldn't even know who he is. Forget his year of UCLA. It's time he catches some flack for that. LeVar, like, let's go through who has beat, who's put up more impressive numbers. LeVar beat Michael Jordan one-on-one at some point. LeVar, just in the last week, has won a war of words with Donald Trump, Luke Walton, and the Chinese government, okay? He's never lost, Anthony. He's never lost. And what does Lonzo do? He puts up empty calorie triple-doubles, and he ducks De'Aaron Fox, and he's garbage and arguably worse than your boy DeBustolo.
I don't think it's arguable. He's definitely worse than DeBustolo, but
yeah, and so, like, that wouldn't matter if he wasn't blocking minutes for more promising young players, but he is. He's blocking Jordan Clarkson and Julius Randle, Anthony, actual good Lakers, from showcasing their trade value, and his suckiness is going to scare off LeBron. Like, it's become very, very clear to me that there is no chance that the Lakers are going to get LeBron because Lonzo is so bad and because his triple-doubles are so not impressive. And so it's just time to realize that he's not as talented as his dad. He'll never be as talented as his dad, and he should stop getting a free pass because his dad is the best promoter on the planet. I'm sick and tired of it, Anthony.
Harrison out?
Yeah, Harrison out.
You know what's funny is I have a whole bunch of people clamoring all over. I'm sure you get it too. Should Lonzo Ball still start? Why aren't the Lakers bringing him off the bench?
I've had people actually ask me if they should send him to the G League.
Well, that in and of its own, like, that doesn't surprise me at all. But, like, even if the middle ground is Lonzo shouldn't start, so wait, you want Tyler Ennis in your life? Is that what we're saying here?
Like, that's, and his T-shirt, man.
We want Tyler Ennis or Alex Caruso, who isn't currently really.
I saw a Golden State Warriors fan suggesting starting Clarkson, but I can't tell if he was trolling.
I think Sam was being serious there, but I disagree with the premise wholeheartedly because
I mean, if he's being serious, that's one of the worst basketball takes
that
I've
would,
ever heard.
That would put Lonzo in an even worse spot because with that second unit, Clarkson is expected to create his own shot, and that's definitely what Lonzo can't do.
I mean, I guess like I don't know, like maybe he's just got to shoot more. Maybe that's the problem. He's not creating enough of his own looks.
What I really want is for I would like it if Lonzo played a little bit more off the ball. Like I think we're learning Ingram's, you know, with everything that we said about his finishing around the rim improving, his drive and kick game has actually really improved. And again, we don't really hear about it, but you're seeing more guys in that starting lineup who can and really guys who, you know, if Julius Randle and Lonzo Ball are on the court together, you have a few guys who can also create for him. And Lonzo has great instincts. Like that's why he's been so successful rebounding the ball, is because he kind of understands how to find cracks and how to slip through some people to get to the ball or get to a spot that he needs to without the ball. And if you were to make the game a little bit easier on him, then and put him on the move, then you know it couldn't hurt. He can't really play worse offensively than he has so far.
I mean, let's not speak that into existence. I'm kind of tired of watching bad basketball.
That's probably a good call. I wanted to quickly credit the Lakers.
I'm sorry,
for
my
doing...
voice hurts after doing that, after the screaming. I've not. It's been too long since I did one of those. Like my throat like actually hurts right now.
A little out of shape, but I wanted to credit the Lakers because apparently, according to Twitter and according to some of the stuff that I see about us, our show, I'm really negative. I want to credit the Lakers for something, and it's.
Taking good pictures of the top Alonzo shot?
Yeah, that's they should probably stop doing that. But what they have done and what the coaching staff has done, and I think it was Brian Shaw who came out and said this is something that he plays noticeably better when he focuses on it, is they've told Lonzo, hey, just focus on rebounding. Focus on getting to the backboard and cleaning the glass. And in those games, like I'd like to go back through and actually look at the Lakers success rate in games that he grabs, say, 8 rebounds or more. But the last 2 games that I've watched, especially in the 16 rebound game that he had against, who was it?
No, so I actually like when he did that when Sunday when he had the triple double again, I went back and looked it up because they were talking about Brian Shaw saying this, and I was like, does the math bear this out? And of Lonzo's like, I think he had had going into this game, he had had 8 games where he was a positive plus minus, and I think it was over half of them were games where he rebounded above his average.
Yeah,
so it's not like a perfect metric, but it's. You know, he generally plays better when he rebounds more, and which makes sense.
Right. Like we've talked about on the show before that the Lakers transition game looks a lot better when he starts with the ball, because even in situations like I saw it earlier or early on in the game. And part of it is because the Lakers just kind of started sluggishly. So you don't know if there's a direct correlation here. But Kyle Kuzma rebounded the ball and Lonzo beat everybody down the court. And it looked like the other 3 people that were around Kuzma when he got the rebound were kind of looking for, oh, wait, where's Lonzo? We got it. Where's he going to catch this outlet pass? How do we fill the lane accordingly? And what the Lakers need to learn to do is if he doesn't rebound the ball, they have to see who rebounds it and get out in transition. But what I've liked is by having Lonzo focus on really rebounding the ball, their transition game looks night and day, because you get guys, they just instinctually fill a lane because they know that even if it isn't like a outlet pass directly leading to a basket, they're at least going to be at a place of advantage as they go down the court. And
yeah, where somebody else can get them on the ball at the very least.
Right, and that's a great feeling for somebody who played the game. If when you get out and run and you get rewarded for it consistently, you're going to continue to run. And when Lonzo
I sucked at basketball, and so I knew running was my only way to score. And so I would run a lot. And when you have teammates that find you, it makes it a little bit more motivating.
Right. So I'd like to see, and this is the funny thing, is because Lonzo gets knocked for the shooting, and we'll keep on hearing about the shooting. He didn't shoot the ball very well again last night, going 3 for 13 from the field.
Yeah.
With no free throws. To me, the free throws.
He almost, the 3 for 13, though, almost looks like a BBB logo.
Light years.
So very on brand for Lonzo.
Yeah. He needs to go 3 for 33, right? Like, or, that's what he needs to do. But what I would like to see from Lonzo, or like to see continue from Lonzo, is to continue to hit the boards. He finishes the night with 8 points on that poor shooting, but 13 rebounds and 4 assists is low for his kind of game. But it's about the kind of passes that he's making off of those rebounds, and that's good to continue to see. And again, the thing I keep coming back to with Lonzo is I've only seen one game where he hangs his head because he either plays poorly or shoots poorly, and that was that Philadelphia game, and he was benched for it, right? I really like that in most of the other games, the vast majority of the other games, because he hasn't shot well in hardly any of the games, he doesn't let that affect the rest of the ways that he can impact this team. And that's not the kind of thing that you get Rookie of the Year votes for, because the voting for that award tends to be kind of stupid. And Rookie of the Year isn't really a conversation because Ben Simmons is so much better than everybody else. But that's the kind of thing that if I was the Lakers, again, I would try to shift the narrative about him as much as possible. When his shooting stuff comes up, I would just point to, well, look at our record when he grabs this many rebounds, right? Just send out random tweets and stats.
I'm
like
sure
that.
They will. They found like every single little record that they can find for him this year.
Exactly. So I guess I'm like I've said maybe 150 times previously on these shows, but I'm sensitive to how PR is managed, and that's one of the things that I really keep an eye out for. And for somebody like Ingram, who has played as well as he has, and for somebody who like Lonzo has struggled the way he has at times, just shift the narrative. If you don't like the conversation, change its direction a little bit. And that's one way you really can.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We might have a show Thanksgiving Day, depending on if a few things fall our direction. If we do not, we will be calling it a weekend early. We'll have Thanksgiving Day off and the following Friday off, and we'll be back at it again on Monday. As of right now, it's looking like it's going to be a single show, a single solo show that I will need your questions in iTunes to get through. So if you want something that you want talked about on the show, make sure you send it with a 5-star review to iTunes, and I promise I will do whatever I possibly can to get to it. Last reminder on this, because this is going to be going live on the day that the draft is actually going. It is Draft Wednesday. Harrison is going to be sending out a link. Let us know how if you're interested in playing in it, and if you use our promo code LOLakers, your entry into this draft is free. And again, like I said a couple times, I will be matching your winnings on this specific draft that Harrison sends out if you sign up for it. Harrison, yeah. That's Harrison is at HM Fagan. That's going to be on draft.com, and the promo code is LOLakers.
And if you beat us, then you can come on the show for 5 to 10 minutes and talk trash.
5 minutes. I thought 5 minutes was crazy. We aren't going 10 minutes. Holy cow.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, it might be I'm hoping that you do, like, really, really bad, and then the person can, like, just crap on you for, like, 10 minutes. I will not cut them off. I feel like that's justified.
Based on our experiences in fantasy, who do you think has a more higher likelihood of doing really poorly and getting crap on?
I like to be optimistic, okay?
Yes. That's you 100%. All right, that does it, though. I hope everybody enjoys this show. I hope we see you in that draft.com and on the draft app tomorrow. If we don't talk to you again on Thursday, have a great and safe Thanksgiving, and we'll be back at it again on Monday.
Wait, real quick. Anthony, what are you thankful for this year?
Ooh, What am I thankful for this year? I mean, it has to be Kyle Kuzma, right?
I was going to say I'm thankful for you, but okay.
Oh. Well, this is awkward.
Well, never mind.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you.